our King, our Redeemer, our Savior, our death substitute. Thank you in advance that we'll not leave here like we came, that we'll grow in grace and faith and in favor. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have your seats if you will. Praise the Lord. Man, somebody must have poured that can of ointment on you guys. My Lord. Almost had a Pentecostal fit before service. Well, my bride says hello, and I'm sorry she's not with me. She was to have been, but she's having some dental work done. It's cosmetic stuff, so you know your ladies ain't going to deal with that unless you're ready. And should have been on the 27th, but they kind of pushed it back another week, so she's not with me today, but she's always with me. Amen.
Amen.
55 years. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. Well, she didn't do too bad either, you know what I mean? Get that straight, all right? What an honor it is. It's the first time we've been here as the new pastors. They're not new, you know, but we've known them for a long, long time. But without the former senior pastors, whom we love dearly, just bouncing around the islands, glory to God, and while we're here in the heat, glory to God. Just thought I'd mention that. What an honor it always is that we never come without the Lord having directed us in some way or another to minister a certain word in season, you see. And it's no different today. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to lock the doors before I give the title. Amen. You might want to leave, but you can't. All right. We're going to minister on the fear factor. Everybody say the fear factor. All right. Now you got that out, glory to God. Don't bolt. All right. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now, this is 5 or 6 hours worth of teaching. We don't have that. We'll have you out by 2 o'clock. I guarantee that. I mean, we'll do our best. I guarantee we'll be up by 2. All right. 2 Peter, you know, 1 and 2 Peter are books that I didn't cut my teeth on, so to speak, but way in the ministry, I mean, 7, 8 years in the ministry, man, I got to hanging out over here and just had, it was hard to leave it, and particularly the second book, but there's so much to say in both of these books, and I found that some simplistic things that could be applicable immediately, we can implement, I mean, right now, glory to God, and you find that today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, chapter number 1, I have to preface this with these scriptures. Verse number 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Everybody say, though you know them. So, I'm here by direction of the Holy Spirit and the acquiescence of both he and I for this particular date. Glory to God, to put you in remembrance. Though you know them. And be, I'd say, further established in the present truth. Hallelujah. Well, what's the truth? John 17:17, thy word is truth. So we can say we're going to put you in remembrance that you know some of these things. And we trust you be further established in the word. Can you say amen to that? Chapter 3, it may be that same book, it may be, no, it's got to be chapter 3, 1 Peter, 2nd Peter, wait. 2 Peter 1, 2, 3, yeah. Verse number 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of what?
Remembrance.
Everybody say remembrance. You can't remember something you've never known. And so there'll be some things that'll be highlighted that you might see differently, but it's not that you've not known them. They've been there. Why? Because they've been in this Bible. We're not rewriting anything today. All revelation is between these two covers. There's no new revelation. There might be a revealing of the revelation embedded, but there is no new revelation. Amen. Anybody says, I got some new revelation, you know, pack your bag and run then. Yes. Hallelujah. Get him up out of there. Yeah. All right. So there's no new revelation. But I'd like you to go with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter, it's all preliminary. So we're going to run through this real quickly so we don't have, you know, three or four meetings with you. Glory to God. We'll force feed you. All right? Verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. Now, I'm a King James teacher and preacher, but many times a little blind in our limited English language. We have three major tenses. The Greek has six, minimum. And so sometimes we're trying to get things into the word from the Greek, Old Testament Septuagint and New Testament Greek. And we come up a little short. And we leave sometimes with a different understanding of what God intended, you see. And here's one of those cases where it says the worlds were framed by the word of God. And we'll take adages that would frame your world by the word of God, and that's wonderful, nothing wrong with that. But really, he's not talking about the finite planet. He's talking about the ages. The word there for worlds is aeon, not cosmos, any of it. It's aeon, where we get eons from. The ages were formed by the word of God. Or we could say the dispensations were formed by the word of God. These time slots were formed by the word of God. Can you say amen? And so then whatever happens in these time slots, God, being omniscient, foresaw it. Nothing takes him by surprise. Nobody in this building is alive or was alive in 1918 when we saw the first global pandemic. None of us were. And so we can't go for them for a model as to how to handle it, yes. Nor should we. Yes. What we should look for is how the word of God says to handle it. Yes. Can you say amen? Amen? And so if that being the case, then it is, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, hallelujah. Go over to God. Verse number 1, this know also. In the last days, everybody say last days. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, we're in the last of the last days. We could call this perilous times. Can you say amen? Since we've never seen anything like it, and it's life-threatening, global economy crashing, these are perilous times. I mean, nobody's skipped them a-looing down the street all of a sudden, you know? It's a little difficult on everybody everywhere, without exception. However, we have a different methodology handling it. Nice wide arm take off right there, glory to God. Dance first and shoot off. Oh, thank you, Lord. These are perilous times. The last eschatos. End time events, final, finality, eschatos. Times, kairos, not chronos. Chronology, successions, 1038, 1039, 1039. You know, I'm the last time I'm going to look at that, okay? I get some conviction, glory to God. I don't intend to run over, but I've missed my intention many a time. All right, all that being said, these are the kairos times, the eschatos kairos, meaning this, the most opportune time in which something should happen. Now think about that. Wait a minute, brother, you're talking about a pandemic. Well, we should institute a word-demic for the pandemic. I told you I'm going to preach myself happy, didn't I? So, if a pandemic comes, I got to go and remind myself of what I've learned. And I've got to implement it. If I do that, and when I do that, we can sing about victorious, more than conqueror. But don't. Why are you cowing when you're more than a conqueror? Why do we atrophy from society and do all kinds of things when the Bible's already told us what to do? Am I getting over this morning?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I'm not going to in any way forsake caution.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm not going to forsake caution. I'm going to do what's necessary to continue to protect myself and others.
Yes,
can you say amen?
Amen?
But I'm not going to be afeared. Glory to God. So then, it's obvious we're in the last days.
Yes.
Now, since we're in 2 Timothy, go to the first chapter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you know where we're headed. Verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
So if we're in fear, we know the source of it is not God.
Amen.
Then you say amen. So it might be the devil. No, it ain't the devil. It's our lack of preparation.
Amen.
Let me see what section is responding the best so far. Get me a survey going earlier. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of dunamis and agape. And watch this, sobriety.
Amen.
We got a lot of writing about dunamis, inherent, dynamic, demonstrable power. But go to Luke 10 and 19 just for a minute. Behold, Jesus is talking, right? I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, everybody said nothing, shall my enemies harm you or hurt you. Well, you might say, well, see, the devil's got power too. I agree with you. He does. However, those two words, power, are two different words.
Yes, sir.
Boy, sure, it's not preaching to an educated audience. I'll tell you that right now. I can wing it. Glory to God. Listen. So that first word, behold, I've given you exousia, or exousia, which is authority and the right and the might to act.
Amen.
Everybody say right,
right.
And might
to act.
I've got authority, and he says, over the dunamis of the enemy.
Yes.
By definition, all power of the enemy is subjugated to your authority.
Yes.
There's no power that he has that overrides your authority.
Yes.
So once I'm aware of that, fear has no place in my life. Whatever he demonstrates dynamically, like dunamis is, I can say, well, I just recognize you and I take authority over that. But if I don't know that like I did for 34 years of my life, fear gripped me many a time. Now, let's be realistic here. There is a fear that really you have almost no control over. The fear that's in this Bible we're talking about in 1 Timothy 1 is the word delia, D-E-L-I-A. That means no inherent good associated with it. If you've got that fear, there's nothing good that can come out of it.
Amen.
Nothing whatsoever.
Yes.
Always negative, never helpful in any way, form, or fashion.
Amen.
When you recognize that, you deal with that, you see.
Yes.
Now, there's a fear that nobody's immune to.
Yes, sir.
And that fear is called pachad, P-A-C-H-A-D. It's a startling, a suddenly coming upon. Everybody been startled. You can't go, I'm without being startled. I'm an avid hunter. When I'm home in December, the last 2 weeks of December, things die. Feathers, fur, I mean, just the things die. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I remember the last encounter I had with him before we went to the military, I'd go out to his dad's place and hunt deer every now and then. But that was the most, something about those deer out there, intelligent. They was like, you know, they'd look at down there, you know, they'd cross out of my range. I mean, everything. And they'd been walking through and forth all day long before I got there. But I never got a shot on the deer, right? So one day he and I, we're going to go deer hunting or something. I can't remember. And there were no deer. And we were coming back, he and I, and He said, "There go one." And I thought, a deer? No, a squirrel. Something got to die, right? Remember that? Wagner, Oklahoma, probably 10 years ago. I'm rabbit hunting. I've got a little thing I do. When I was raised in California, here, I actually lived in California many years, and I'd go out to the high desert to hunt. I didn't have any dogs. In the South, we hunted with dogs, you see. So I had a little thing, you know. Just, of course, I couldn't get rid of this Marine Corps mentality, so I'd run, you know, and kick the bushes. Rabbit jump up and go to rabbit heaven. Boom! Well, I tried to employ that, and I did to some degree in Oklahoma, but you got briars, and you got, you know, it's harder, right? So I was doing that one day, and there I was, and I looked out of the corner of my eye. This is November, maybe? November in Oklahoma. 38, 40 degrees, something like that, you know. It's been a snowfall because that was my first time rabbit hunting that year, and I love when the snowfall, you can track them, you see. And there I am. All of a sudden, out of the left corner of my eye, peripheral vision, an alligator. An alligator in Oklahoma in November with the snow on the ground. It was a log. An alligator log. Looked just like that. Snout, mouth, eye, tail, body. And guess what? I'm startled. With my bird shot, right? I'm going to take him out with bird shot, right? Ain't going to happen. Right? I recovered myself and laughed till I couldn't stop. An alligator log. What happened? I was startled, but I became sober. The minute you get startled, you recover yourself, and sobriety comes, and now you can make sense of the situation, and I'm not in peril. Are you listening to me today? But I had fear in a defensive mode automatically. Yes. So you can get gripped with fear. But your job is to have a sound mind in the midst of that. Yes. Somebody shout amen. 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 All right. Then. First Chronicles chapter number 12. Hallelujah. First Chronicles chapter number 12. And simple stuff here. You've heard this if you never read it, but you've heard people quote it. So again, I'm putting you in remembrance. We can use the Old Testament as well. Is that right? Verse number 32. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, everybody say times, to know what Israel ought to do. And that's enough of that. They had understanding of the times. Matthew 16 and 2, won't go there, but Jesus talked about the fact that they could discern the face of the sky, but couldn't discern the times. You see? So we have to have vision via the Word of God to discern the times that we're in. And nothing reflects that better than the Word of God. History is still His story. Is that not right? So then I'm going to look at history. Yeah, that's fine, but how does it match up with the Bible? Not the Bible matching up with history. The Bible validates history. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. All right. All that means is, so now, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sober thinking or sound-mindedness. Yes. And when I abdicate that, the first thing that's going to happen is I'm going to start walking in fear. Yes. It may be incremental, it may be progressive, and it may be voluminous from many sources, like media, pounding you every day with fear. Not caution, fear. Fear mongers, selling fear. We buy into that, we've just lost it. We lost what? We've lost sobriety. We've lost sound thinking. Anybody get any help so far? All right, all that being said. So how do we get to this place? I guess we got to kind of preempt some of this stuff. We don't have those 4 hours, glory to God. I'll let you out by 1:30 now, all right? You might say, I got the fear of the Lord. Yes, you do. And you better have the fear of the Lord. Yes, sir. But that's a different word. Yes. That's yirah. That's awesome reverence for God. If you don't have it, you're in trouble anyway, you see. I got to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, Proverbs 9 and 10 says, it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. We put it together. We actually are in position to receive knowledge and wisdom by the fear of the Lord. A reverential awe of God. Somebody shout glory. Well, I got that type of fear. And sometimes I get startled. And that happens. But I immediately assess the situation and come back to sobriety. I can move forward right down with sound thinking. Make the right move at the right time. Now, so I want to talk about the incremental progress of arriving at these different levels of fear, because it doesn't all of a sudden, other than startle, it begins in a different way. Go with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, and we'll look at some things here that, you know, I saw this years ago. I never put it together. 25 years ago, I started teaching in this area, did one little cassette back in that day, and I never pursued it. Just about a few months ago, the Lord breathed on that again. And now we went beyond it. So just 3 or 4 hours worth of that same teaching. And that teaching was called Fear, the Basis of Unbelief. Every time that you cannot believe God for something, no matter how big or how small, is a phobia foundation or a fear foundation. Your inability to believe God is based in fear.
Yes, sir.
Primarily fear of it not coming to pass,
yeah.
Number one.
Yes, sir.
And so I remember teaching on that, and it was wonderful. And the Lord said, yeah, you're not done with that. And his omniscience, he saw this time frame we're in now. And revive that in me. Somebody shout him. Let me qualify this now. As best that I can tell, maybe with rare exceptions, I can't put my finger on it right now, but as best that I can tell, God has never given me a message for the body of Christ that was already active in my life. Most of the teachings that I do, there was a minus. I needed to hear that myself to implement it. I didn't bring something to you, spirit life. Glory to God, you got to get this. I had to get it way back when, 25 years ago. Because it inhibited my progress to some degree. And it wasn't noticeable by anybody. Not even my wife or my family. But God noticed. You're hedging here. Are you listening to me? And why? Because I was timid, which is another type of fear. But now 1225 of Proverbs. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad.
Amen.
Well now, the foundation of this particular scripture is based on that first word, heaviness. Now what does that mean? Well, that word heaviness is translated anxiety. Everybody say anxiety.
Anxiety.
The beginning of fear is apprehension, which leads to anxiety. Any apprehension, so you're apprehensive, you know, just kind of, yeah. But apprehension is momentary. Anxiety is elongated. When you get anxious, you get anxiety, you're dwelling on it. And I call that negative meditation. You're thinking about it. You're looking at the day, the deadline or whatever. It's constantly carrying its weight with you everywhere you go.
Yes, sir.
And before long, you say, well, you try to push it out. When you're suppressing something on purpose, you got anxiety.
Yes, sir.
And anxiety is the foundational stage of the incremental progression toward fear.
Yes, sir.
And yet we have, go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 4. I'm preempting, but I got to get ahead of this real quick. Amen. I can't abandon my notes because that's when I go over, right? So be sure I'm still on my notes, right? If you see them fall on the floor, you're in trouble. All right. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, here we go. I love, did you love the word?
Amen.
It takes all the cobwebs away.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 6, Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, how many things?
Everything
by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. There's some words, this is on the border, that have to be transliterated. There's nothing in the Bible, nothing in English that match the word in Greek or in the Hebrew. So there's no translation, it's transliteration. This is kind of quasi-qualifies for that because scholars differ, but if you go back to the foundation of it, you see it exactly the way I've seen it. And that is, the word that's best used here is be anxious for nothing. Yes. Yes. Be is a one-word command like stop.
Yes.
It wasn't requesting that you don't be anxious. It's telling you not to be.
Yes.
And here's where we go awry. I'm talking about spirit-filled, concordance-picking, out-running, pew-flipping saint. Amen? Us. Sundials. Go awry because we now incorporate into our speech pattern things the Bible said not to do.
Yeah.
We said, oh, I'm so anxious.
Yeah.
Thank you for that holy hush. Amen. You just located yourself. You said it. Well, I'm so anxious. Well, don't be. The Bible says not to be.
Yes,
why? Because you don't understand that's a tear.
Yes,
the foundation of incremental progression toward fear.
Amen.
Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing.
Amen.
Don't even say it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so anxious. I'm anxious to go to that party. You know what you're saying? You said, I got anxiety.
Yes.
I just have to. Yeah. Yes. Why? Something may not go right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time frame might not, you know, sink or whatever. Yeah. But I'm anxious.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, don't be.
Yeah.
So I got a command from God via the pen of the Holy Apostle, via the Holy Spirit saying, don't be anxious.
Yes,
so I can't say that I'm anxious.
Yes,
so that word, heaviness, is anxiety. 1 Peter 5 and 6, I think, it's talking about casting your cares upon us. Is that not right? That word cares, anxiety. Look, listen, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. A one-word imperative that said, don't do this. Now, we're not digressed at all. What are the first two words an angel says when he appears? Oh, why? Man is predisposed to fear rather than faith. Faith is not a natural acquisition. It's a gift of God. And yet, at the same time, through the Adamic fall, we now will rather unbelief first before we believe. We got to be taught to believe.
Yes, sir.
So fear shows up. The angel shows up. Fear not. Hey, don't move. Hey, because you, hey, I'm out of here. 9-foot wings, sword. See ya. The most repetitive phrase, prepositional phrase in all of the Bible is do not be afraid. Over 200 times, do not be afraid.
Amen.
And we violate it consistently.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? We get out of the Word of God in our times in the morning and turn the TV on and go, whew! By principle, we just violated that because now we're afraid. We're anxious. This is a sobering message, but a necessary one.
Yes, sir.
And so I come to the conclusion that I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to practice to vernacular or my vocabulary saying things that are counterproductive to my life.
Amen.
Just ain't going to do it.
Yes,
had to learn that.
Yes,
had to learn that.
Yes,
well, now, so where are we going from here? Glad you asked. So what's the culmination of fear? We're going to talk about fear as that middle category. We go from anxiety to fear. When you're in fear, there's no redeeming quality to it, no good associated with it. Nothing's coming out of that that's going to help you. If it stayed there, we could at least manage it back to anxiety. But it doesn't. It's a progression. Go back to Philippians, if you will, chapter number 1. We didn't leave that, did we? Philippians 1. Verse number 28. That's two. Won't have it. Number 28. Here we go. Another no thing. And in nothing. First of all, be anxious for nothing.
Yes, sir.
Now we got another nothing.
Yes,
sir. And in nothing be terrified by your adversaries.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, what is terror? Take this T off, you got what?
Error.
Whenever you terrorize, you suspend sobriety.
Yeah.
You suspend rational thinking.
Yes, sir.
You suspend having a sound mind. You do exactly the opposite of what should be done in a given situation. I just left New York. We were there for 10 days. I was talking to Pastor Ricky in the Catskills. In the morning, it was 50 degrees, 56 degrees. Now I'm here. You don't even, 50 is foreign to you overnight. Bullhead City, Arizona is not the Catskills. It's where God is residing nonetheless. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, I reminded them, when I got to Syracuse that last meeting, I reminded them that the Sunday following 9/11, we were in their church. That's very weak. The church was packed. No standing room in there. Why? Fear motivated. What's coming next? Things hadn't been qualified yet. You know, airplanes was grounded a whole bit, right? And I asked them, which I knew the answer to, has it been that way since? He says, no. Not one time since that Sunday has the church even approached that capacity. Why? Because crisis management many times is out of fear.
Yes, sir.
Can you say amen? Now, what happened during 9/11? People jumped out of 100-story buildings to avert flames, to assure death. Why? They were terrorized. And gone past fear, when terror grips you, you always make the wrong decision. And nothing be terrified of your adversary. His display of power and dunamis is always, without exception, subject to your authority. Without exception.
Yes.
The head of the church told you that.
Yes, sir.
I didn't tell you. The head of the church told you that.
Yes.
Without exception.
Yes.
Totally subject to your authority.
Yes, sir.
But if you don't act in it,
yes,
you let fear come in, which has no redeeming qualities,
yes,
no good associated with it,
yes,
and you now find yourself in a dilemma. And the answer has already been given to you. Am I getting over to you this morning? All right, now. So go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because you might ask, well, who's my adversary? I'm glad you did. Hallelujah. Let the Bible answer you rather than Brother Marcel. Verse number 8. Oh, here's the command. Be sober. Would you like to be? No, oh, be sober. Be vigilant.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's a chronology here, or sequence. He didn't say be vigilant and be sober. Why not? You can never have vigilance without sobriety.
Yes, sir.
You be sober so that you can act in vigilance.
Yes, sir.
Can you say amen? It's always sobriety, sound thinking that will lead you to the right decision in vigilance.
Yes, sir.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Who is that? That husband of mine. No. That wife of mine. That woman you gave me. No. The devil. Satan is God's adversary. You are the body of Christ. He's your adversary. He is the chief fearmonger. Primarily his... Oh, man, I wish I could do that, Lord. Wait. Let's finish this verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I went to the store the other day, went to Walmart in Tulsa, and the peaches were out, man. August is when the peaches come out. I mean, boy, they were. I went and I looked, and I picked and I turned over and I felt I was seeking the very best peach that qualified to go in Marcel's mouth. Everybody ever had an unripe persimmon? It's pucker time right then, right? It's horrible. So you want to find the very best fruit.
Yes.
Qualify. When you seek, you're poking and you're looking around.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why does not Satan devour everybody? He can't.
That's right. That's right.
He's got to find those that qualify for being devoured.
Yeah.
What's the qualification? You got it. Fear.
Yes, sir.
If you're walking in fear, you walk by faith and not by what? Fright.
Yes.
If you're in fear, you qualify to be devoured. He's looking for that one who is somehow apprehensive, continually dealing with stuff, negative meditation, anxiety. You qualify.
Yes, sir.
Because you're not in faith, because faith worketh by love.
Yes,
I'll get that in a minute, Lord. So now with that in mind, so I won't say, everybody say adversary. Go to Isaiah 14 for a minute, just for a minute. I thought I'd do that, Lord. Isaiah 14. You need to see this. I needed to see this years ago. And since I got it, I've implemented it. I know exactly what I'm dealing with the adversary. Everybody say adversary.
Adversary.
All right. Isaiah 14. And he's talking about Satan in the 16th verse. He says here, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? You would stop with it. Did you get that?
Yes.
Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and me when I was in anxiety and fear and terror? Is this the man? Because it's going to be so. What? I was afraid of that.
Yes.
That's the intent of the scripture. To not magnify Satan like we do, but to show him for what he is. Yet the Bible says he's a dignitary. So I'm going to caution you now. I'm going to caution you. The Bible says when in Hebrews, when Moses was wrestling, the angel Gabriel was wrestling for the body of Moses. Was it Gabriel or the other one? One of those two archangels. It says he brought, now who was it?
Michael.
Michael was wrestling for the body of Moses. The Bible says he brought against him no accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Scriptures before that say, make no disparaging remark toward a dignity, dignitaries. Whether you like it or not, he's a dignitary. Amen? But he's no match for you. He's no match for you, boy. Glory to God. I want to commend you, leadership, and espousal of that wonderful quasi-exhortation teaching on giving. You know what that did? That relieved people that had anxiety about giving. That took away, I don't know about, all of a sudden, they entered into faith. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Thank God that we don't hide from the things that God ordains us to do.
Amen.
If he says get an offering, but listen, if we're going to quote the word of God, you're not quoting the brother.
No.
He said no, him said.
Yes.
And when he says it with a capital H, it's obligatory that I do it.
Yes.
I wasn't always a tither. Why? I was apprehensive about tithing. What if I don't have enough left? What's that? That's anxiety.
Yes, sir.
It's the foundation of everything you can't believe God for.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're not a tither, let me tell you right, you are fearful of tithing.
Yeah.
Amen. Your pragmatism and your logic, well, the Bible doesn't say, so yes, it does.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And so for you to sit on, now you got to find another excuse that will not hold air as to why you don't tithe. Other than fear. It's always fear.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll get your joy back in a minute. All right. Now go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. We're not done with this. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now look at this. We've read the 8th verse. He goes about as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom may devour. I don't qualify. I've made up my mind. Now watch this. I don't have any immunity against fear, the pakad, the suddenly coming upon, but I got all kinds of immunity against any other kind of fear. Amen. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be apprehensive. I'm not going to walk in fear. So I'm not devourable. That's all it is. And any of you that do the same thing, you're not devourable. He has to pass on you. Look for the one that's walking in fear. As a matter of fact, the counter of this is 2 Chronicles something, 7:14, somewhere. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. That's the one he's seeking.
Yes.
Glory to God. He's seeking you. He's seeking me because my heart's going to be perfect toward him.
Yes.
Somebody shout glory here.
Amen.
Now, that ninth verse again, 5 and 9 now. 5 and 9. Whom resist ye steadfast in the faith?
Amen.
Not in your own strength.
No.
Well, now, if you're walking in fear, and we've got to go fast here, Lord. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casteth out fear. So how do I know if I'm in fear? I just monitor my love walk. If I'm mounting my love walk, guess what? I now can be in faith because faith is energized by love. And my perfect love will cancel, matured love will cancel fear because fear has torment, torturous, no rest, no peace. You know what the one, I wonder if I'm fearful. Just monitor your day. You know whether you're in fear or not. Timidity, anxiety. Oh, you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So then the Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. Why? Because my faith is engaged.
Yes.
Fear and faith are mutual excludes.
Yes.
They cannot cohabitate in the same moment. Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
I'd rather be then in faith than be in fear.
Yes.
Now, how do we do this? Go to Job 13. We're jumping around, but it'll be all right. Job 13. Is it 13? Is it? Oh, it is Job 13. It's not what I want. It'll come to me. All right. Let me give you an example of where we're going to go here, and I'll get it in a minute. Well, we can do one here, but that's not what I'm looking for, Lord. So I'll take this. Job 13, look at verse number 21. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. What is dread? Dread is fear on steroids. Dreadful. You've anticipated it. It's shown up. And there it is. And it's dreadful. You just say the word dread, and all of a sudden, your heart just drops, or you can have anxiety. I think it's 25. Now, let me just see here, because I think I'm running all over the place looking for something. I know it's got to be here. It'd come to me. All right. Now, here's an opportunity for you to see a lesson that I operated in. Well, not I operate in, but I observe in operation in a spirit-filled person on fire for God in Bible school. I was, my first quarter at Bible school, this guy somehow asked me that I want to go fishing. He found this pond that's formerly would let people fish in, particularly Rhema students. I said, oh, yeah, man. So he and I would go fishing, right? And thereafter, you know, I'm sort of work. He started working, and we hadn't fished for a while. And all of a sudden, he said, "Okay, hey man, I'm going to be certain different hours. We can go. Okay, we'll go fishing then." Now it's November again. Everybody say November.
November.
So it's November by that time, and now you can, you know, the bass are slow, but the crappie are still there, and so you know, so we're fishing different styles, right? And we got to the field. And he had said this before. He said, "Watch out for the snakes." I said, what'd you say? He said, watch for the snakes. I said, it's November. They are cold-blooded reptiles. There is snow on the ground. They don't like their belly on snow. There probably aren't any out right now. He said, you never know. I said, okay. All right, so watch what's that. Every time we went out, all went along, watch for the snakes. I thought, okay. All right. I told my wife, I said, so-and-so is talking, we should watch for the snakes. There is no snake with any sense on top of the ground this time of year. Come that spring, we're having a Bible study. Oh, we actually had a little kind of a gathering in his home. And he said this. He said, no, his wife said, tell him that story. He said, oh, you tell him the story. So he tells me the story. His wife goes outside to do something. He goes in the kitchen because he would always help her in the kitchen. He goes in the kitchen to do the dishes. He's doing dishes. Up from his sink comes a snake. In his kitchen, a snake comes. And he, of course, get him up out of there. But I couldn't find it. It's there, you know, that which I greatly feared has come upon me, Job said. What is it? 13 what? 325. I said 13. I knew it was a 3. 325. That which I greatly feared has come upon me. Guess what happened? He called the snake by his fear.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What you don't want to see, don't repeat.
Yeah.
What you don't want to show up, don't continue talking about it. Yeah, because you'll have exactly what you say, negative or positive. It dominated his thought life. Negative meditation, negative thinking about it. Don't want to see a snake. That snake, we got communities around. That snake went to Coweta, Wagner, came out of Lake Eufaula, went into whatever little pond, whatever slough, ditch, sewer, passed every address in Broken Arrow to find his.
Yeah.
Every house on the block. In fact, this is the one, this right here. And he almost broke a leg getting out of there from the snake showing up in his kitchen. Why? He called that snake.
Yes, sir. Oh,
go to Job 3 now. It's just 13, but I knew it was somewhere close. Job chapter 3, well, 3 and 13 are not close, but there's a 3 there, amen? All right, so we've got to wind this thing down. Job chapter 3. Thank you, Pastor Ricky. Now let's look at this in context. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Watch this. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Or we could say, I called it. What you're constantly negatively focusing on is on its way to your address. It's about to visit you. You can put a stop to it. Well, now, here's another incorporation into our vernacular. If I were to say to Pastor Ricky, hey, before I leave town, let's tee up. Let's go golfing in the morning. Tee time is 9 o'clock. He might say this, which he would. He says, I'm afraid I can't do that. Ever heard that?
Yes, sir.
I said, ever heard that?
Yeah.
From the person between your ears, maybe? What does fear have? Let's have lunch at 12 o'clock. I'm afraid I can't do it. What does lunch have to do with fear?
Yeah.
It comes so easily. It's not innocuous. It's potentially deadly.
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid I can't do that. It's just a saying. Oh, no, it's not just a saying.
Right.
It's Nathaniel saying, watch the snakes.
Yeah.
Watch the snakes. Watch the snakes. And they show up. Why? Because that which you fear, you're calling.
Amen.
And manifest in your life. Anybody get any help here other than me?
Amen.
All right. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, man, I'm doing fine. Look at that. Hebrews chapter 2. All right. Now here, I worked for, of course, because many of you know, but I worked for a man named David Ingalls. And I was a nighttime DJ from 9 to 1 o'clock on his radio station. And all night long, I got to go to school the next day, but I'm listening to these songs of Zion, playing them all night long, just absolutely just blessing your socks off, right? And Brother Ingalls would go and sit in meetings that Brother Hagin did, and he'd write songs, just impromptu. I mean, he's a psalmist. I mean, just you can talk and all of a sudden it's a song. I've seen it happen right in front of me. Just absolutely awesome, right? Well, Brother Hagin was teaching here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 15, Hebrews 2 and 15, where it says here, and deliver them, talking about Jesus, through faith or through fear of death, which is the ultimate fear. Everybody say ultimate fear.
Ultimate.
Now, a believer should not have any fear of death, but we should have concern about premature death.
Yes,
amen? We know where we're going. But if your stuff hasn't been accomplished yet on the earth, you want to continue to live.
Yes,
and nothing wrong with that, all right? But fear of death is the ultimate fear. But the Bible says he delivered them,
yes,
who were in bondage really to the fear of death.
Yes,
it goes on to say here that we're all together, their lifetime subject to bondage. Wow, hold that thought. Go to Romans chapter 8 for a minute, real quick. We'll come back over here. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 15. Oh, glory. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. Again, to fear. Whoa. The bondage of fear of death is a constant accompaniment to those that can't live in faith. And it's not, see, the word of faith has been maligned, mistreated, hijacked, and to do all kinds of things that God didn't intend. Amen. But that doesn't invalidate the scripture. Amen? If you're in fear, you're in bondage. And we've not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba Father. So I'm not going to be bound up with the potential for something happening catastrophically when I can live by faith. And I walk in love. Somebody shout amen here. So here, back over to Hebrews chapter 2. So he says here, in that 15th verse again, and deliver them who through faith, or through fear rather, through fear of death, were all their lifetime, how long? How long? Before you knew the word of God, no matter how much you attended church, before you were filled with the Holy Spirit, this potential was at a nanosecond. All your lifetime, fear of career, fear of this, fear of that, bondage, fear of promotion. Anything that's not of faith is of fear.
Amen.
And you won't call it that. Well, I was just anxious. No, you're not anxious. You're fearful.
Yes,
and it'll make your heart stoop. In other words, your soul will be all bent over.
Yes.
Why thou downcast, O my soul? David says this.
Yes.
He talks to himself. Can you say amen?
Yes.
All right. He says this. They were all their lifetime in bondage to fear. Subject to fear. Now, the Rothman translation, Brother Ingalls wrote a song out of that. And it says, paralyzed, paralyzed, Jesus won the victory, Satan lost the fight, the enemy is defeated, restoring every life. Satan has been paralyzed. He's paralyzed. He dealt a death-dealing blow and paralyzed Satan for people altogether in fear of death. He has removed the death-dealing power of the enemy. He's paralyzed. He wants to put that onto you into paralysis through analysis. He wants you to analyze every problem to the degree now you are fearful. He just got his way. Rather than him being paralyzed, you're the one that's paralyzed. You now all of a sudden can't make the right decision. And if you dare get the terror, it's all over. He's having a party when you do that. Are you listening to me today? So he was paralyzed, but he did not. They says, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Since Jesus knocked his teeth out, all he can say is meow. Oh, somebody shout, hey, he's a toothless wonder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, what's the lion in the Wizard of Oz? Toothless wonder. But he's a dignitary. But he cannot devour the undevourable. The ones that walk by faith and not by fright. Can you say amen? I'm telling you today, fear has no place in a believer's life. It makes you do irrational things because you suspend rational thinking. You suspend sobriety. And sound thinking evades you. And the next thing you know, you're out doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Anybody been there other than me? Well, I come to the conclusion that I will not walk in fear. For we walk by faith and not by fright. Can you say amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4 and 18. While we're looking at the things that are seen, let's stop right there. How can you not look at what you're seeing? While we're looking not at the things that are seen, but the things which are unseen, the emphasis we do look at the things that are not seen. Well, help me here. How can you not look at what you're seeing and look at what you can't see? Again, that's a little blind to us. Well, it means this. While we focus not our gaze upon that which we do see. Right? But we focus our gaze upon that which we don't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidentiary aspect of things that are what? Things that are what? Not seen. My focus is going to be on faith, not what I'm looking at. I can't lock my gaze on that because that produces fear. And fear has torment. And torment will block my faith. Because faith worketh by love, Galatians 5, 6. So I'm going to stay in love. Ooh, glory to God. I don't care what somebody has or hasn't done. I'm going to stay in love. Because my anointing in my life is in the cradle of my loving and not being a fighter. I'm going to release you from your stupidity. Ooh, glory. Hey. I will not recompense back to you your ignorance. Pentecostal wave time. Can you say amen? Ain't going out in that ditch with you. I'm going to love you. Glory to God. I'll love you to my grin and cheer. I love you. Because I'm not going to be a hater. Romans 5:5 says the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We can sing about the Holy Spirit. But I told you before many years ago. The first new car that I bought was a 1970 Mach 1 Mustang 351. Glory to God. Man. I mean, it was something else. And I was playing music in the San Fernando Valley. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I was about 60 miles from L.A. And I'd have to drive home after those gigs at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then one night I was coming back, and it was the winter time. It was just, man, I was just barely getting along. I rolled the window down. I turned the air conditioner on. I did everything. I'm still drifting. I thought, oh, man, this is bad. I know what I'll do. I'll test these horses. I mean, 90, 110, 120. I mean, in the corner, 130. I was awake. Let me help you here. I was, wide awake. Got to L.A. in record time. I let up off that thing. I thought, cool. Man, this thing is fast. I never was a fast driver. I never tested the horse. They were still there. All of the horsepower was still in that engine. And I never did that again. You're downloaded and equipped with the love of God. You don't have to let it be shed or brought in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can elect not to. I'm telling you right now, it's the fear dispenser. Yeah. The love of God cast out. It could fear of non-effect. Somebody shout glory. Amen. If I don't do it, though, I can walk in fear. Yes, sir. And I can elect not to let the love of God shed or brought in my heart. I don't care who has wounded me. We can all sit here and say somebody this and that. It had to be, whatever. You can hold on to that if you want to. I'm telling you right now, it ain't going to prosper you one bit. Yeah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Nothing's going to hold me back, particularly me holding me back.
Yes,
can I get a better amen than that?
Amen.
So then, if he has been paralyzed, I'm not going to be the one that's, through analysis, find out that I'm in paralysis.
Yes,
I'm not going to overthink anything.
Amen.
I'm going to go back to the manual, what the manual says.
Yes.
By so doing, I'll free myself of anything and everything that could produce fear.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that?
Yes,
Father, I thank you today in the name of the Lord Jesus for what we've been able to get out. We could have gone with greater depth and more, but this is enough. Now we have a charge from you, from heaven itself, from the Word of God itself, not philosophy, not man's thinking and man's doctrine, but your doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Father's love for us, to abdicate any fear posture, walk away from, move away from, and into the greatest thing that we've ever received, that's the love of God. I thank you, Father, we will walk in precautions as we need to. We'll not be obtrusive or abusive concerning those that maybe are not where we are. We'll not look down on them because they can't do what at the time that we're doing. But we'll pray for them and we'll lift them up and love them nonetheless. Because I come to the conclusion through you, I can do all things. And I can walk in love toward anybody in any given situation. So I do not undermine my own faith. For that we give you glory and praise in Jesus' wonderful name. For it is one thing, says the Lord of hosts, to gaze the globe and see people in fear who are not mine. It's another to see my own people cowing, walking in fear when I'm giving them the antidote to fear, which is love and faith. These days can be like days of heaven on earth, says the Lord of hosts. But to diminish what I've done and elevate what the enemy has done is an abomination to me, says the Lord. These things ought not be. Fear should be far from thee. That's the day that I've ordained that you walk by faith and not by sight. These things can be, should be implemented immediately. And you're forgiving of yourself for having cowed at the enemy's roar. Now is the time of celebration, says the Lord. Hallelujah and amen.
Hallelujah
and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Thank you, Father. Oh, how grotesque it must be for you to look down on this holy habitation and to see them and us acting like the world. Oh, what an offense it must be to the Spirit of grace, the empowering and enabling ability that's been dealt us with, to abdicate it, put it aside, and receive the enemy's invitation to fear. So we say today, Lord, no more. We say today, no more. We recognize the adversary for who he is, what he is, and he has been paralyzed. The death-dealing power of the enemy has been paralyzed by Jesus Christ. And we take our occasion to walk in that boldness from this day forth. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Whew, man. Hallelujah, Lord. Whew. Heads are down, eyes are closed. By a show of hands, if you're born again, biblically, you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you have been saved. If you've done that with a surety, could you reach up either hand and say, that's me you're talking to. Glory to God. Me you're talking about. Hands are raised and no conjecture here. We're talking one to the other with a raised hand or with the unraised hand, one or the other. Amen. Hands are down. Heads are bowed. Eyes are still closed. If you did not raise your hand on these two next occasions, I'm going to tell you, when I give this invitation, I'm going to tell you exactly what the results are. All right. If you've not been born again, according to what I just said, that's the Bible, not Marcel Joseph, and you know that you're not saved, not a Christian, but you're here at the behest of the Holy Spirit and others who've brought you here. If that's you today, I've never made that affirmation of faith. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody who did not raise their hand on the first time? Would you raise your hand right now and say, I want to be born again. I want to become a Christian. Amen. Is there another that would join this one person? Is there one more? I'm not born again, but I want to be. I'm not born again, but I want to be. All right. Now, maybe others didn't, but I see and I look at you who didn't raise your hands. I'm going to go to this next invitation. If you're born of the Spirit of God, no doubt about it, saved, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you love the Lord to the degree that you can. But the Bible says he will empower you after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's for every generation of every age. It belongs to every believer of all ages. Now, that's you today. No, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to raise your hand. Anybody in here never been filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, one. Is there another? Another. Man, that's another one. Is there another? I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't, and there's another one. I don't speak with tongues, but I want to. It belongs to me. I know it's the Word of God. I can give you one, another one. Is there another that would join these four? I don't speak with tongues. I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, but I belong to him. There's another one. Yeah, man, there's another one. Another one. And another. Praise and another. Praise God. Let me tell you what just happened here. You overcame fear. And the ones that didn't raise their hand and you don't speak with tongues, fear is the only thing that held you back. Anxiety, apprehension, my persona, what will they think? You have succumbed to the subject of this message. Fear has no place in your life if you're born again. I want those of you who raise your hands to come up here right now. First of all, those that not been born again, anybody at all? I want you on this side. So you're not born again over here. All right, the ones that we filled with the Holy Ghost, come on up. There's only one that I think. Hallelujah. Praise God. You raise your hand, come on up here, right? All the reasons why I have just died. Your feet made an answer to those objections of yesteryear. For you peruse this in times gone by, figure you can do without it. But your heart was perked this morning as an essential to go forth. You need it. Fear lost its grip on you. So this is a day of infilling, says the Lord of hosts. All the logic of yesteryear, all the explanations of why just died. In the name of Jesus, receive, be filled. We begin to speak. Go ahead on. Go ahead on.
Lord,
go
thank you just for just being with me, Lord. Thank
go
you
ahead.
You do, Lord. Just thank you.
No, not English. You can say that. I know that. You speak an unknown language. Go ahead now. Mundo lobo. Out of your belly. There you go. Check that faucet. Open that faucet up. Go. Lift your hands to the Lord, sister. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak with tongues. He'll give you the utterance. Come on. Easy. Let it flow. Fill people. Speak. There you go. Come on. Let it out. It's your gift. Let it rip. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Anytime you want to, you can go there. Lift your hands to the Lord. Well, now, self-forgiveness. Yeah, it's been hard to look in the rearview mirror and say this and that and point those out and be inhibited by them. Yet you've walked away and you've made a desire to stay away. absolutely made a desire to stay away of affirmation of faith. So if that being the case, then why take yourself to the whipping post and think you don't qualify for all the gifts that God has for you? You're no different than anybody else. Thank God that rear view mirror is just that, a rear view. Your future is bright in God. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Ooh, lift your hands to the Lord, sister. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ah. Self-worth is not determined by self. What a misnomer. The world talks about self. Self-edification, self-advancement, that's the world's language. So we can throw self-worth in there with it. That's another thing of the world. You're accepted in the beloved. That's where your worth is. And so whatever has reflected or deflected your infilling to this very day, that little film you thought was a mighty wall in the sight of God has now melted and crumbled in the name of the Lord Jesus. So therefore receive in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus the very best gift that comes from the Father of light, and whom there's no variableness, no shadow of changing, the infilling with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we begin to speak with tongues. He gives you utterance. There you go. Wrap it up. Glory to God. Ramp it up. Glory to God. Now, just got born again. Sat here, got saved. Now you're going to get filled. Won't take 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 minutes. You're as qualified as anybody else because you're born again. It belongs to your children and his children's children, as many as are far off. I'm going to lay my hands on you. And when I do, you're going to begin to speak with a new language you've never heard before. And you'll be glorifying God in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Begin to speak and give you utterance. Go ahead on. Oh, no more kushkade. Go ahead on, sister. Yeah. Good. Yeah, there you go. Woo! Glory to God. Ain't no tarrying here. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I tarried for a minute. Glory to God. Lift your hands to the Lord, sister. Walking with him, loving on him, yet going without this wonderful aspiration of being able to speak with tongues and glorify him, singing the Spirit, praying the Spirit. And the Bible says it is a perfect gift that comes from the Father. The Bible says to be infilled with the Holy Spirit, thou givest thanks well. You will never be able to give thanks better than you give when you lift your hands in Dambraskaningilisumpakaladoskania. That's the ultimate in praise. I'm going to lay my hands on you, and immediately you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, no doubt. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Begin to speak. He'll give you the utterance. Oh, Lord, okay. Go ahead on. Shake it up. You're breaking through years. Barriers are falling. Yeah, go ahead on. Barriers are falling. Logic is falling. Yeah, keep on. Get on. Anytime you want to, you can go there. In your closet, in your bedroom, wherever you are, anytime. Oh, my tender shoot. Lift your hands to the Lord, sister. In the mighty name of Jesus, you qualify for a saying from heaven itself that the Lord Jesus told Peter the apostle, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But that desire of him was motivated by cooperation of fear and intimidation. Matter of fact, your peer group lured you against your own heart. Oh, yeah. I mean, against your own heart, you knew better and did it anyway. But then you recovered yourself, got saved. Now you're going to get filled and you'll be stronger than ever. You'll repulse the things that don't line up with holiness. In the name of let their best, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Begin to speak with tongues. He give you the utterance. Go on, baby. Come on. You're filled. A rush from your belly to your throat. You talk, he does it. Hallelujah. He gives you the utterance. You and you alone in control of this. Hallelujah. Everybody before you has, don't feel like you all of a sudden you got to match them. You just lean into the gift of the Holy Spirit and begin to speak. He'll give you the utterance. If not now, when? Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. That's not your barometer. Jesus is the standard. Jesus said he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost, not me. So when I touch my hands on you, you're going to be filled. That's the promise. They laid hands on them in the 8th chapter of Acts, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. I'll lay my hands on you. You begin to speak in the name of Jesus. Begin to speak. He'll give you the utterance. Whatever sounds on the inside, let it come on the outside. This janta, that rumble comes through your tongue in the name of Jesus. Release it and begin to speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Filled people speak. Holy Ghost folk magnify him with their tongues. Language of heaven is in you. Now let it out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's better than start it. Glory to God. Let it go. There you go. You sputtered, but now you got to start it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Oh my. Lift your hands to the Lord, my sister. You know when the word of God comes forth like it did today, we can either let it whip us or correct us. And you were going between one and the other. You were there going, oh my. And you had history lessons in your memory bank. But there were glimpses all of a sudden of breakthroughs and receipt. And you started applying it to yourself. And with that application, all of a sudden, you saw yourself in the eyes of God. Not through your own eyes. And now you walked up here to become better. Not a better Christian, not a better person, but better at prayer, better at praise, better at understanding, better in every way you could even imagine. You have stepped over today where you've been intended to for years. Today is a day of revelry in your heart. And from this day forth, the power of God will rest upon you like never before. And breakthroughs have begun today in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, begin to speak with tongues. Let it go. You have just been catapulted to the other side of victory in the name of Jesus. Where was it, Lord? Yes, the monarchy. Obroskineke, Mananinke, Seketulama. Oh, mon gilima. There. You must see it. Step out here, sister. Lift your hands to the Lord. Well, breakthrough. No longer a worry wart. In the name of Jesus. Not gnashing of the teeth, but pretty close to it, the wrenching of the hands. The wanderer in the temple, the overthinking, the overprocessing. Well, that just met its end. I'll tell you one thing, you're going to have to work up a worry. You're going to have to work at it from now on. We so easily slept into it. Any quiet moments, there you are worrying. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of your life goes that spirit of worry, intimidation, fear, any and everything that would even begin to look like it wasn't lined up, you gave overthought to. For those days are gone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you walk free of that total debilitating ability to stop you in your track. If it's 30 seconds or 30 minutes of worry, it's worse than anything you could have possibly done that day to inundate, to prevent the things of God coming to you those days ago. That gate now is shut in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, there was something over here, Lord. And it was here. Step out here, son. Lift your hands to the Lord. While I say this in the name of the Lord Jesus, if the standard was man, if the standard was community, if the standard was peers, then you'd probably be at the top of the rung and standing your ground, manhood. But man is not the standard. The Word of God is the standard. Jesus is the standard. We fall short of the glory of God as sinners. But let's not repeat that, because not being a sinner, we approach the glory of God and the escalation toward the things of God. That doesn't happen automatically. So a turning of the heart is required, and turning of the heart is actually happening even right now. For to sit back and to sift through what's valid and what's not, as you have done in times gone by, never profited you one bit. You always land in the very same place, the place of negativity. But those days seem to be coming to an end even before this moment. So you're hard-pressed to stay in that mode, and you'll never go there again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because he and he alone, not Brother Marcel, not Pastor Ricky, not anybody, not the pain on TV, not the fallen preacher, none of that is the standard. But to find grace in his sight is the number one thing your heart desires. And so be it, it shall. Yeah. So watch the gate in your steps, says the Lord of hosts. Watch a different cadence that will be discernible on the parts of others who've known you for years, and they appear at you and wonder what happened, and all you can say is, Jesus happened in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The love of God is to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, we can't make that love, but we certainly can have that love. We do have the love as believers. But that doesn't mean we let it go. So, any violation of withholding the love of God, always without exception, ends up in some way negative. And we can go back and we can rehearse things to ourselves through the years. Bad business deal. I got that, Lord. Bad business deals. I won't even put my hand on you. Could, should. But bad business deal does not give you the right to hold a grudge this year. Because you don't have what you would have had the decision not been made by that person or persons, does not negate the love of God toward them from your heart. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you just freed yourself. Hallelujah. I said, you just freed yourself, and that which you thought you lost, that which you thought you lost will be made up many times over in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's finite, physical money. But beyond that, favor of God seeking you out, seeking that. Are you listening to me? In the name of Jesus. So be it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Woo! I sure wouldn't want to be in that spot. Glory to God. Let's do this together. I am now actively engaged in the biblical principle of walking by faith, not by fright. God has not given me the disposition of attitude, outlook of fear. But he has given me dunamis, agape, and sobriety. I will be sober in my thinking. I will distribute the love of God that's in my heart by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5. Thank you, Lord. I'm a lover, not a hater. I seal my fate with my faith, which worketh by my love. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pastor, if you will.